It's good to see you all here, all of you who are able to make it. I know those rows are a little slick, but certainly edifying to me to see and to be here with my Christian brothers and sisters talking about the scriptures and renewing our inner selves. And this evening, the lesson I've prepared is a topic that's it's one of those perennial topics that's good to talk about every now and then, to bring it up. And tonight's topic is about the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it do for us? How do we explain it? And of course, to get us started, let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs is great because it reads a lot like a father speaking to his children words of wisdom. Kind of like you see in verse 8 where he says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother." So it's helpful advice. And we see in verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction." And really, when you think about it, you know, the writer of Ecclesiastes mentioned that everything is vanity. And beyond fear of the Lord, if you're just out there in the world doing your own thing, really, it is vanity. And so it really starts when you begin fearing the Lord. In verse 7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I think about a father saying this, and I think about how my dad would say it when I was growing up. And it probably sounds something a lot like, "Now, son, that's the first smart thing you did," right? It's the beginning. It's when you first realize that there's something more important than this world, but rather our spiritual father. It's what gets us started on the path. And is fear of the Lord, is it the same as being afraid? In some respects, of course, it is. Afraid of what might happen. But mostly fear in this context, the way we would use it in English, fear means a healthy respect for authority, punishment, consequences, or some such. I usually like to talk about fire and how I am not afraid of fire. I don't have a phobia of fire, and yet I have a healthy respect for what fire can do, and so I treat it appropriately with, you know, I'm not foolish or reckless in the way that I approach or deal with fire. And so I have a healthy respect for what it can do and the consequences thereof. And so to have fear in the Lord means to seriously believe and have a healthy self-preservation style respect for the consequences of disobedience to God. And we know the scripture in James 2:9, it talks about, you know, it's good that you believe. The demons believe and they fear and tremble. And that's the afraid of, they know what's going to happen. And they don't have the option like us to turn and repent. So that's the fear of trembling, the fear of certain condemnation. Luckily in this life, we always have the opportunity to turn to God, to save ourselves from the condemnation. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. How do we know that we should fear God? Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look at 12 and 13. "But this man, after he had..." Hebrews 10, 30. We'll start in verse 30, sorry. I got my scriptures mixed up. Hebrews 10, starting 30 and 31, it says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.'" And surely that's where we're going to be on Judgment Day, when the Lord is judging his people and we are in his hands. There's no way at that point to be saved. There's no way to change our status. It's our answer has been locked in at that point. There's no getting out of whatever sentence that we end up with. So it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. it's like he said, it begins with that fear in the Lord, that true knowledge begins with fear in the Lord. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at 5 and 6. This says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So here's a promise of impending wrath. Those who are disobedient will have the wrath poured out on them. It's not a if or maybe or a whatever. It's an equals, right? Disobedience equals the wrath of God. And he's given us plenty of warning. The decision to be baptized, to be saved, to ask, what must I do, often starts with this fear in the Lord. That was my personal experience. Was I was thinking about what would happen to me if I died, and it scared me. And so because of that fear, right, it starts off kind of with a self-preservation aspect. We come to salvation because we fear for the consequences. It's almost a self-preservation, almost like a selfish act where we're thinking about us. That's how it begins, because we want to make sure we're not lost. We want to be saved. And we know that hell is worse than whatever worldly fires we can think about. And I mean, that's part of what got me to thinking about it was, it was in the evening. I was sitting at home in front of the fire thinking about how hot that fire was and how it couldn't compare. Like, I could stick my hand into the hottest part of that fire, and whatever, you know, burning happened to me would be, you know, pale in comparison, and that scared me. And it's kind of a parallel that we have with our parents. As we're growing up as little kids, we initially obey because we fear the discipline, the rebuke. We fear the punishment of disobedience to our parents. But fear of God also brings us to better learning His will. We say we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to be disciplined. So, like we do with our parents, well, what do I need to do so that I don't get in trouble? You know, hopefully we tell our kids, right, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, or you'll be in trouble. So we find out from God. We study His Word. We seek out what His will is and what we must do to be saved. What does He want? What must I do? Just like we see in Acts 2:38, they found out that they were in a state that they feared. Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were afraid. They feared. They were struck to the core. They didn't realize that they were, you know, in this much trouble, that they were in a spot of such danger. And they said, well, let's get out of this immediately. What must we immediately do to, you know, get out of this fiery danger that we're in? And of course, that leads to the plan of salvation. We study God's will, we follow it, and, you know, we get our heads in the clear. And this fear, it's commanded to our benefit. It is to our benefit, right? We finally get to where we're saved. So the fear is the beginning. It gets us to being saved, but then it matures from there. Fear, it spurs us to repent. But the continued obedience actually reaps rewards beyond just not being condemned. Once we're saved, it actually improves our lives. It improves our relationships with others. And we see it's actually a benefit. You know, a lot of times the things that parents tell their children that they don't want to do, the parents know full well it's to that child's benefit, even though the child does not immediately see it. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy we'll see that fear is actually commanded. We are commanded to fear. In Deuteronomy 10, let's start in verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." So here's pretty much everything we just said. It's for our good. It begins, right? His instructions in 12 begin with fear the Lord your God, walk in his ways, love him. And at the end of verse 13, it's for your good. So it's commanded to our benefit. And we see this fear, and we also see love mentioned in the same aspect. Now, I mean, can we, you know, juxtapose the two? Because fear sounds like you're afraid of something. You know, people love to make those scary movies where you're sitting there, you don't know what's going to happen, and then something jumps out. Ah. But this fear we're talking about, mixed with love, that's that respect, right? We respect what God can do. And, of course, we love him, too. It's beyond just getting away from that condemnation, but obedience and developing a relationship with God. Let's see what else the Bible tells us about what fearing God is for us. Let's go to the book of Job. Chapter 28. Here it is, Job 28:28. "And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." So fearing God is wisdom. It's wise. It's to our benefit. It is the opposite of foolishness. Let's also go to the book of Acts. Acts 10, and let's start in 34. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Fearing God is acceptance by God. So it's wisdom to us. It's acceptance of us by God. And let's go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 19. And let's look at verses 7 through 9. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. We think a lot about sin, and sin, you know, it gives an image of filth or gunk or something that gets on you that you can't scrape it off or clean it off no matter how much you try. Only God can wash it off of us. It's like a, I think of it kind of like a black tar-like substance, if I had to think of it in a physical sense. But in contrast, the fear of the Lord, it's clean, it's simple, it's pure, right? It's good for us in an easy, simple way that guides us in an easy, simple way to find the truth and what we must do to avoid the wrath. And of course, we've said it's beneficial. Still in the book of Psalms, let's go to chapter 34. Verse verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want to those who fear him." There is nothing lacking. There is nothing beyond what you need, right? To want means you lack something, you need something, but there is no want. There is no poorness, you might say. There is nothing left to be desired for those who fear the Lord. So fearing God, it's not like the anxiety we see among society who fear things. They get scared. They tremble. Fearing God is only of benefit to us, right? It's wisdom. It gives us acceptance. It's clean and it's beneficial to us. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. "And then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied." So here we have a New Testament example, right, of the churches, because we always look for examples of what the first century church did, the New Testament church did, so we could follow those examples ourselves. And here we know that they walked in the fear of the Lord. It was a part of their identity as a church, part of what they did as a church. They walked in the fear of the Lord. So we have it for us as a commandment, right, in Deuteronomy. We have it as a description of being to our benefit in Psalms. And here we have the example for us to follow in the first century church. And we govern our churches with the certainty that God will make good on every promise, right? Both reward and punishment. Fear of the Lord, fear for the reprisal, a healthy respect for that. But we know that, you know, if we have that certain belief of punishment, we also have that certain belief of reward as well. And we know we are to fear God, and we also know that we are to fear only God and not man. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and let's look at verse 28. "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Talking about God, right? He's the final arbiter of what happens to us on the judgment day. And another thing we see popularized in the modern society that doesn't seem quite the same as it was back in the good old days, right? But it's this over-hyping fear of death. Like they just like drill it into all the TVs and movie shows and horror, whatever, is this idea that death is the worst thing that could possibly happen to us. And for those in the world who do not fear God, who do not believe in an afterlife, who believe that this world is the only existence, to them, sure, that probably is the scariest thing, because once they're done, according to their beliefs. But we know, we who fear God, who fear for the eternal punishment of our souls and seek the eternal salvation of our souls, know that death is not the worst thing that can happen to us. The Christians of the first century knew it, the ones that were thrown to the lions, right? They knew that there are things that were worse than death. Fear him who can destroy us in hell. Like the scripture tells us, don't fear man. Well, I mean, what can man do but hurt us physically? And you think about all those who died tragic deaths in the past, right? The Christians who were thrown to the lions, even if they had been spared, right? Even if they had hid the fact that they were Christians and went on their way, they would still be dead today. You know, a lot of we think about historical tragedies of people dying. Well, nowadays, whether they died then or not, they would still be dead now. We know that the time that we have on this earth is not, you know, it's a temporary nature. It's a passing nature. The earth itself is of a passing nature. So fear God and not man. Let's go to Psalms 118. I often say that I stopped using the electronic Bibles because it helps slow me down and pace me out better. But whenever I'm going into Psalms, sometimes it slows me down a little too much. Psalms 118. And let's look at verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, man has no say in what happens to me. He can try to inconvenience me in this life, but he cannot have any final say over what happens to my soul or anyone's soul. I mean, that's such a strong verse. What can man do to the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Think about that. Fear God, not man. Fear, of course, as I said before, it matures into other things, right? We fear and it spurs us to repent because of that self-preservation. But obedience begets what? As we see that obedience is good for us, that it's beneficial for us, we see that God's commands are for our well-being. Fear gives way to love. That self-preservation becomes selfless service, our desire to please our Heavenly Father. Let's go to 1 John. First John chapter 4. And let's start in verse 16. And we have known and believed that the love that God has, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Let's think about that idea that love gives way to fear. We fear God, right, because we do not want to be condemned. But as he says here in 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We have confidence. There's no fear in us, right? In the day of judgment, we sit confident, assured, bold, without any trembling, because the fear, right, it gives way to love, and the love is perfected. We have this boldness about us because I work for God, because I belong to God, because I serve God. Right? I don't have that fear anymore. I've gone beyond it. I work to please my Heavenly Father because I love him, not because I'm afraid of the consequences of not doing it. And of course, 18, there is no fear in love, because it's that we've reached that point in our relationship with God where we do things for him, where we serve him, where we worship him, not out of self-preservation, but because of that relationship, because of that love for him. Because fear involves torment, and we have no fear of punishment because we are his, we belong to him. Love and obedience. Once fear is gone, love and obedience are what is left in its place. We obey because we love. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Everything else beyond that is vanity, right? We have to fear God to come to the truth. We have to fear God and know that there is that consequence, that there is that torment. And then as we proceed in our relationship with God, that fear, that following the commandments gives way to love, because we've put them in our hearts, like we talk about in Bible class. We have His word in our hearts. It's something that we have not just adopted for self-preservation, but we have chosen to do through obedience and love, so we don't have that fear of that torment. If there are any here tonight who fear that wrath, who fear that torment, you know, it's always a good time to put on the Lord in baptism, to be added to His church, to begin, right, begin your journey towards obedience and then love, and not having to worry about the torment, not fearing the judgment, because we are God's and we belong to Him. And if there are any here tonight who need the prayers of the congregation or whatever that need is, please let it be known as we stand to sing the song of invitation.